Everyone please stand and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a motion to approve the minutes.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. First item on the agenda this morning will be a public hearing revision to floodplain regulations. Tim?
Good morning. My name is Jim Fox, and I'm the zoning and floodplain manager for Butler County. What I'm here today is to ask for your final approval for the revisions of the Butler County flood damage prevention regulations.
Same one we had before, Jim?
Yes, sir. No changes whatsoever to it from before. Just a quick overview. The floodplain program was designed to allow counties to adopt regulations for flood hazard areas that are necessary for the participation in the National Flood Insurance Program. It also enables residents of Butler County to remain eligible to receive federal flood insurance. If we didn't participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, Butler County residents would not be eligible for flood insurance. The majority of the revisions were required by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Water, but a few of the changes were at the suggestion of staff and the committee members. Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Water oversees the enforcement of our regulations and is regulated to monitor us. The process for adoption of these regulations will require two public hearings. Our first meeting took place on January 22, 2009. The second and final public hearing is taking place today, January 29, 2009. If they are approved, the changes will go in effect 30 days after the resolution is passed. This process to revise the Butler County Flood Damage Prevention Regulations started in December of 06. The Floodplain Committee was assembled to review and discuss proposed changes. The committee consisted of individuals who represented different agencies within Butler County and the private sector. And the following members were part of this committee. Mike Engling, Director of Development, Bill Balsinger, Building and Zoning Administrator, Eric Pottinger with our Engineers Office, Doug Dirksen with the Butler Soil and Water Conservation District, Mary Lynn Loader with the Water and Sewer Department. Within the public sector, Chris Winnenberg with Schumacher Dugan was part of the committee, Etta Reed with Baron Becker, Jim Kleingers with Kleingers and Associates. Betsy Kelly was also on the committee on behalf of Dan Hendricks with the Home Builders Association. Now what I would like to do is just give you guys a quick overview of each section that we changed with some just minimal changes. In section one, what we are changing is a statement of purpose. This is only being changed to help clarify sections per ODNR requirements. In section two, we added and changed some definitions because the definitions are used in the text of the regulations. This was done just to give us a better clarification of the definitions used throughout the text. In section three, the general provision of the text added was required by ODNR. Excuse me. These changes will help better explain how the resolution shall apply to all areas of special flood hazard areas within Butler County. The changes were simply to help explain what it already are enforcing. In section four, all the changes were required by ODNR so that our regulations would be in compliance with the National Flood Insurance Program minimum requirements. And then in section five, the text was added because it was required by ODNR. Other changes were made for clarification purposes which we are already doing in our existing code. Now in section six, I'll let Doug Dirksen with our soil and water just give us a quick overview of section six.
Good morning.
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 In order to clarify section 5.2-11, the stream buffer section, section six was created in order to, again, clarify and expand some sections. Just want to run through some of those changes. Some additions, including with the special flood hazard areas on FEMA firm maps, Blue Line Stream, Second Order, and Greater will be included. Allowable practices were expanded to include roads, bridges, foot and bike paths, stormwater management facilities, levees and utilities, as well as stream restoration projects, dead and or diseased tree removal, reforestation and fencing. A couple of prohibited practices were included, the construction of buildings and structures, as well as inline stormwater detention facilities. As well, we wrote provisions to allow existing non-conforming structures to continue. There are also provisions to prevent takings issues. Agriculture and silviculture operations were exempted. And we also created a stream buffer easement for subdivisions platted after the adoption.
Thank you, Doug. At this time, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have of the regulations. Okay. Well, thank you for your attention to this matter. One thing I will like to present is the resolution we're asking for approval today. There's a copy of the resolution.
I guess I have one question, is that with these new regulations, have you done enough due diligence to let people know that these are changes are happening?
Yes, sir. We did do notification in the newspaper on two separate occasions, on the 9th and the 3rd of last month, actually, to let them know that the public hearing was taking place, that they could come to the commissioners if they have any questions.
My question, I guess, is that are there going to be people coming in and say, well, I've done this for years, and when did this change? And do we have some people that come in annually for different permits and things like that that are going to be surprised by this? And if there are, is there a way to mitigate their surprise?
I think with our committee members, and as well as the Home Builders Association, the committee members, they were supposed to be here, so I would suspect they probably didn't show up because of the weather. They were here last time. And really, the committee members, and with like Schumacher Dugan, with Chris Winterberg and them, they come in a lot, and they were on our committee, and we listened to all their concerns that we were proposed changing, and we did go ahead and make their changes to what they wanted or didn't want. But they were pretty much satisfied with our changes. Now, in reference to the public coming in, for somebody who wanted to build a house in a floodplain, we would hope that the Home Builders Association, they did have a member of our committee, but they didn't have any suggestions either in reference to that. Are they going to be surprised? What we're changing here really isn't what we're already doing. It's just helping us more to explain better definitions, just to help us explain our code better to the public and make for the public to understand it better. So, no, I wouldn't feel that it would be a detriment to the neighbors coming in and people coming in.
Commissioner, may I suggest that we put a notice on the website that they have changed and post these to the website?
We will be notifying in the newspaper. We have to, by Ohio law, put a notice in the newspaper saying that the commissioners had adopted a resolution changing the regulations, and if anybody wanted to come in, they come to our office or the planning department, review the changes.
I guess the question would be that in the last 2 years, people who have come in for permits, is there an easy way to say, okay, well, if they were coming in today, they would have to do the change? And would they, and do they come in every year for the same type of permit?
No, if somebody comes in for a building permit for like a new house, they typically don't come back. They've already built their house. Right. They met our minimum requirements. Schumacher Dugan or somebody in the private sector who does a commercial building pretty much knows our regulations, and they do numerous permits with us, and they know the requirements, and they have I mean, they just follow the regulations.
Okay.
What may we also suggest, maybe we just post some signage at your desk, at your permit area, which is, you know, indicates that the floodplain regulations have changed effective such and such a date.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, some of our committees were going to speak. Of course, they didn't come. I know Mike wants to speak real quick on behalf of the regulations, so I'll let Mike talk. Thanks.
Basically, what I wanted to do is, although they're not here, I wanted to put it into the record to thank you for the to the committee members, especially the ones from the private sector, because that was volunteer work that on their part, and a special thanks to Jim, who did the go-between between the committee and ODNR to make sure that what the committee was looking for still met what ODNR was looking for. So I wanted to...
Would we like to thank them in a letter under our signatures?
We can do that.
Okay.
We can do that.
Just send it over to us.
And to get to your question about the general public, nothing that we changed in the code now would put any additional properties within the floodplain either. I don't know if that was a concern, but I wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
Okay, do anybody wants to make any public comments for? This is a public hearing, other than what we've heard. Anybody against? We have a motion to close the public hearing.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Need a motion?
Why don't we just deal with that? I think it's on our agenda for the related items.
Correct.
I move to approve the
second
changes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Okay, thank you. We appreciate all your help, all your work.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, people are leaving. I think that I voted on the minutes that I shouldn't have voted on. So could we have that revote again? I think I'm motion.
I need a second Chuck's motion on the minutes.
All right. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet, no vote. Stain. Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Seemed like you were here.
I was watching.
Okay, we move on to the for final plat. David.
We have one subdivision plat for approval this morning. This is the Trails of Four Bridges, Phase 5, Block B, located in Liberty Township. This is for 19 lots.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We're going to change the agenda just a little bit if the commission doesn't care. We've got Andy Brosart and Abbott there out here with us to talk about authorizing the insurance for the general obligation sewer refunding bonds. Andy, you want to take us through that?
Fails. People always get up and leave when we start talking about bonds. Thank you.
Good morning. What we have before you today is first a brief update as to where the market's at. But this presentation is related to the 1998 sewer revenue bond refunding that we've been working on with the county for the last month and a half or so. If you look at page 2, I wanted to give you a brief overview, as you can see where their historical rates have been. This goes back to 1980, and you can see the blue line there as it comes forward from left to right, how rates have come down to historical lows. That's the 20-year general obligation bond buyer index. And below that is the short-term index. The green line is the 7-day floating rate paper, which the county has none of that outstanding. And the black line scribbled in with that is your one-year note index. So both have continued to stay pretty low. And you see the spike there in right towards the end of 2008. If you flip over to page 3. This is a snapshot of the last 3 years, or I'm sorry, 6 years. And you can see again, we're still in relatively very low rates when it comes to long-term fixed rate debt, the blue line going across. The one-year note index, which is the black line again, and the green line, which is your seven-day floating rate index, has seen some volatility over the last year or so. And the green spike there, that was when Lehman Brothers declared bankruptcy and seven-day floating rate paper went from 2% all the way up to 8%. And again, the county has been very, very conservative over the years with their debt policy, fixed rate debt, 1 year notes were needed, but again, no variable rate debt. And you know, if, as you can see there in October, that was costing some folks tremendously on their interest payments. Page 4, the ratings. The county has established a very solid underlying rating. And this gives you indication where that falls in the grouping of those ratings. The top of the line is a AAA. The next level down is a AA1. And then the level where the county's at is a AA2. And that was an increase from the AA3 the county was at previously. I think it was about a year and a half ago that upgrade happened. And in a time like today, underlying ratings, we've stressed it for years with the county. The county's been very conservative and try to protect that rating. And if you, I'm going to show you a chart here on page 6 that really depicts what's happened here with ratings. This is July of 2007. And the bottom line, the pink line, is the AAA rated paper. Then you go to the blue line, which is AA, and the orange line, which is A rated and BAA. Back in 2007, these rates and these credits were really, really tight and on top of each other. Since we've had the insurance companies collapse and credit really has become a significant factor in issuing debt, if you turn to page 7, you can see what has happened with those credit spreads. And this is where the county's bond rating has been very, very important. As you can see, AAA rated and AA rated paper down at the very bottom of the chart, cheapest interest rates in terms of needing to borrow. And then we jump almost a full percent if the county would have slipped down to an A rating in terms of borrowing, if they had any borrowing needs for the county. It would have cost the county a full percentage point going forward. So now and in going forward, underlying credit ratings are very, very important. So it's a tremendous accolade to the commissioners that you've kept that rating so high for so long. Any questions on those charts? Page 8. What we've got before you is the resolution to proceed with the refunding of the 1998 bonds. Currently outstanding is about $6.9 million in sewer revenue bonds. They are currently callable. The 1998 bonds, the coupon, the average coupon left on those four maturities, because there's only four left that out till 2012, is about a 4.71%. That's a pretty good low interest rate in the time, even in today's rates. There's a debt service reserve fund at $2.2 million with revenue bonds as a requirement to keep 1 year of debt service in a cash reserve. We're going to liquidate that and use that to pay down the bonds because we don't need it when we're switching over to a general obligation bond issue. And then we've got about $327,000 that have been paid into the bond fund. The county with revenue issues every month pays in a percentage of the annual debt that's coming due that year. So $327,000 is going to go towards paying down that bond issue. So our 2009 bond issue will be about $4.6 million. And again, we're going to utilize those to the $3.2 million from the reserve fund and the $327,000 in the bond fund to pay down on that debt. The current interest rate, the net interest cost, which includes all costs of financing, is about a 2.1%. So almost 2.5% lower than what the bonds are out there currently for right now. It's going to produce about a savings of $736,000 a year between the cash pay down and the interest rate. And we're looking at a total saving of about $2.9 million. We are switching from a revenue bond to a GO bond for a utility issue. It's not something that we advise to do all the time, but given the fact that there's only 4 years left on this issue, and it uses up little under, actually about 0.15 mills. So very little millage utilized on the inside debt limitation for the county. And in essence, using that strong credit rating of the county to help enhance the savings over here for the sewer system. Moody's did affirm the AA2. Tim and I had a credit rating conference call with Moody's about 2 weeks ago. That's listed in tab one. So there's a full report there from Moody's outlining some of the issues we talked about in terms of the budget and the sales tax revenues and what's been going on in the county, all detailed in the Moody's report for you.
Any questions?
Yep. Pretty straightforward. Timing. If you pass the resolution today, we will price the bonds on next Tuesday, February 3rd. That'll lock in the interest rates on that date, and then we'll close the issue about 2 weeks later, and the bonds will be the fees. The old bonds will be fees on March 19th.
Very good.
Any questions of bond counsel? He drove all this way, an hour and a half it took him to get here today.
Yeah. Always good to see you guys. Good to see you guys.
Thank you very much.
We have a resolution authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $5 million general obligation sewer refunding bonds.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Go on to the rest of the agenda. Tim, you want to take us through it?
Certainly.
Andy, I'm sure you and Abbott are welcome to stay, but you don't have to since you. We appreciate your work, though. Thank you. It's an integral part in reducing our rate structure for the water and sewer department. So thank you.
Thanks. Nice seeing you, Abbott. See you, Andy.
Tim?
First of all, we have a separate resolution to consider. We pulled a previous resolution, and it's in its stead is a resolution to appropriate the remaining cash in the Princeton Road Administration Building Fund in the amount of $114,469.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Next, we have five, as we move into communications, we have five travel and training resolutions to consider. The first is Bill Balsinger, Clay Callahan, and Gary Kessler to attend the OBC Means and Egress Seminar. Sharonville, Ohio, $75. Next, we have Justin Boyd and John Sabatini from the Juvenile Court to attend the UC Case Management Training, February 12th to the 13th, $200, Delaware, Ohio. Next, we have two resolutions. Kurt McPherson, Pat Infield, Nancy Skipworth, and Tim Blevins, Jack Johnson, from the Veterans Service Commission to attend the OSAVSO Spring School and Conference. These people are not only made up of employees and board members of the Veterans Services. They have to attend these in order to earn their continuing education requirements for their positions. The seminar is May 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. We are also making accommodations so they can travel in a van, so we don't have separate transportation to that training. And then finally, Nancy Nix from the Treasurer's Office. We have a seminar dated March 26th to 7th. This is in Columbus, Ohio, for the Essential Bond Portfolio course. So we move on to transfers and appropriations. We have three items to consider, two involving the general fund. First is to increase appropriations by $531.63 and then create a transfer to Fund 910 for the Juvenile Detention Center, which is a correction of prior year per the auditor. Next, we have a general fund transfer of $7,600 to the from the general fund to Fund 1021 for the local match for the victim assistance grant. Finally, we have the setup of the HAZMAT grant or funds within the Emergency Management Agency. As we move on to personnel, we have nine personnel items to consider today. The first is to amend a resolution adopted January 22nd to reflect the correct printing of the rate. We stated the correct rate in the meeting, and then this follows up with an adjustment to the rate. Next, we have a comp time payout to Amy Dierman, she's in Children's Services, in the amount of $30.04. She's a social services supervisor. Next, a comp time payout to Vanessa Long, collective bargaining unit member in Children's Services. She's a social services worker four. Comp time payout of $633.74. Next, we have a comp time payout to James Jeffries, collective bargaining unit member of Children's Services, in the amount of $194.90. He is a family resource specialist. Next, we have a collective bargaining unit promotion to Jessica Taggart to the position of customer service technician at a rate of $15.55 per hour. Next, we have to approve we are requested to approve a temporary reassignment of Rick Baker within the water and sewer maintenance to the maintenance supervisor at a rate of $27.47. Next resolution is to approve a voluntary demotion of Brandon Codel with water and sewer building and grounds to building and grounds worker one at a rate of $15.67. Next, we have to accept the resignation of Linda Hurst as a record center project specialist. And then finally, you're asked to accept and place on file the list of care facility employee personnel actions. As we move into Job and Family Services, original agenda had 11 items. It has been reduced to 9 as we pulled two contracts for CompuServe and SpeakRight, because the contracts have not been returned yet, you know, from the vendor. So the remaining 9 agenda items, you first requested to approve a child care contract with Small World Children's Center, February 109 to January 31-10 for $112,000. Next is to approve a child care contract with Miami University Campus Kids, February 109 to January 31-2010 for $12,500. Next, you're asked to approve a foster care placement contract with St. Joseph Orphanage to the period of February 108 to June 30th, 09 in the amount of $195,000. Next, you have a request to approve an agreement with the County Community Health Consortium for $30,000. For the period of February 109 to January 31-10 in amount of $30,000. This particular group helps provide medical assessments to get clients on Medicaid and Social Security. This is a requirement from the state in order to document their health care position so the state can make a final determination on their Medicare or Medicaid availability. Next, you're requested to approve a contract with Sandra S. Lasser. This is a children's services contract from the period of September 08 to September 09 in the amount of $40,000. This particular contract targets families who are abusing and neglecting children because of substance abuse. This is an intervention process to redirect and treat the identified a treatment to improve the family unit for possible reunification. Next, we have a contract with Community Behavioral Health for substance abuse services. This is a children's services contract in the amount of $50,000. Next, we have an agreement with for you consider with Rhonda Sneed, a consulting case manager. The amount of the contract is $40,000. This is an assessment contract to assess and counsel families or parents with abuse or chemical dependency, whereby it's required or impacting child abuse and neglect. Next, we have a contract with Dr. Kurjawal. Dr. Chirk Kurjawal, similar to a previous resolution I just read, provides medical assessments to clients of Job and Family Services. These are referred to CMS cases to help determine eligibility for Medicaid and Social Security. And finally, you have an agreement with the Alcoholism Council of Butler County. This is a HIPAA agreement required for privacy purposes. As we move on to water and sewer, we have four resolutions for to consider. The first is to approve and execute contract for Yankee Road water main replacement with Donald May Construction in the amount of $376,773. Next, we have a contract to approve and execute with the Rygard Road Rockdale Cast Iron Water Main Replacement Project. The contract's with Welsh Excavation in the amount of $586,196. Next, we have to, you're requested to approve a change order for the Monroe West Supply contract number 06A6. The amount of the change order is for $5,192, and it's for the modification and change of gate valves that are required for the project. Water and sewer request you also to release a performance bond for the extension of public water and sewer lines to North Point at Union Center. As we move on to the engineer requests three pieces of legislation today. The first is to grant special hauling permit to AmQuip rent crane rental. The second one is to cancel performance bond for Arbortown Village at Wetherington. And then the third is to approve an agreement with ATC Associates for engineering services at an amount not to exceed $4,000. We have four items under miscellaneous for your consideration. First is to approve a change order for the animal shelter. This is a deduction of $2,001. The next one is to approve and execute an amendment to a contract for jail physician and jail medical director. Next is to approve a professional engineering contract with Stantec Consulting Engineers up to $44,675 for design and engineering for projects at the Butler County Airport. This particular engineering fee is paid 95% by the FAA. And finally, to approve an amendment to the landscaping assessment at University Point in that the R Group Financial Credit Union for their parcel has opted to pay in advance in full for their related assessment. Then We have a request to approve 304 payment resolutions.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
And we have a separate resolution to consider for three payments involving Board of Elections.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain.
Do we have anyone have any comments from the audience? Greg, anything? Do you have anything?
We don't do this now, or a working session?
We'll just try to work it into it later on.
Okay.
Josh? Seeing none, I guess we have an executive session for collective bargaining for water and sewer, so I guess we need a motion to recess to executive session.
I got a couple things here.
Oh, sorry, Jeff.
If you don't mind. One is, since we're doing all this, this is unprecedented times and everything with their salaries and everything, I think it might be a good idea to revisit our salary ceilings on the various levels while we're at it. This doesn't look like it's going to be over anytime soon. We're kind of headed in that direction anyway. But just a thought. It doesn't need a resolution or anything. It's something we should consider.
Are you talking about for salaries for each position? What their
correct.
Range?
Yeah.
What their range is?
Yeah.
The top and low part of it. Mm-hmm.
Chuck, I think that's, you know, like 1,000% correct. I think you're dead on it. We need to look at that. It's a good suggestion, and we need to look at that quickly.
That's kind of the direction we've been going, and I think it's something that we do need to revisit because of the situation we're in. We don't seem to be able to make the money that we're running off the machines like the upper government can do. So we're kind of limited. Also, I have a resolution that I'll abbreviate here for the Township Government Day, which is going to be on the February the 1st. The Ohio General Assembly is designated February 1st Township Government Day in Ohio, and it began in 1999. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, Donald L. Dixon, Gregory V. Jolivet, and Charles R. Furman, Commissioners of Butler County, Ohio, do hereby declare February 1st, 2009 to be Township Government Day in Butler County, Ohio, and submit our sincerest congratulations and gratitude to those men and women who serve our fellow citizens and communities throughout their township governments and supporting agencies.
Great. Need a resolution to that effect? Need to vote on it?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a motion.
Second. Second is motion.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Move to recess to, unless you have something, Greg.
No.
Greg, get anything?
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Mr. Dixon?
Yes.
Josh, you may want a copy of this revenue bonds that Andy and Abbott has some interesting information from Moody's about our financial picture.